Do your tattoos mean anything?
Yes, each one.
Right. So it's not like one of those things you regret getting.
No.
Nice. Someone will ask if you are Ghanaian.
I know. People think I'm South African. But I think it's because of the music
type. Yeah, I think it's because of the music.
Yeah.
If you could change... No, if you could actually do one thing for the rest of your life, what would you do?
Just live life and enjoy. Maybe travel the world or something.
You could travel somewhere.
Yeah, just travel, explore other places, eat good food, or play music. Play music.
Right. But so you basically do what you're doing now for the rest of your life, if you could.
Yeah, I don't see myself doing anything. Well, not like DJ necessarily, but like... music.
What?
So it can be anything.
But do you think you're going to quit DJing at some point?
I don't think so. Well, I can't tell. You know, you make those decisions depending on what's happening in your life at that particular time. Right. So right now, I don't think I'm going to quit. But maybe in future, something will make me.
You want to quit? What made you start?
I don't know what made me start DJing, but I know, like, I've always loved music, like growing up and stuff, and. It took me like being a DJ now to actually
understand
that okay, everything I've done in my childhood was actually for this, even though then it didn't look like that, because maybe after school when I come back home, I'll put like a cassette, then we're using the cassette, you put it in the radio, then I record the DJ playing. That's playing, so I can listen later. Yeah. And then maybe if there's like a family gathering or there are friends, I feel like if there's no music, it's not really making sense. So I have to do whatever I can do to get music to whatever we are doing. So I think that's what, but being a DJ, I think there was nothing, like I was just playing with virtual DJ because I was in uni, and then I was like, okay, even then I didn't think I was going to be a DJ. I just felt like this is something that I like, so what should I do? So I went online and then I said, okay, there is a free app or software called virtual DJ. So I downloaded it. But then, I mean, apart from play, pause, sync, I'm like, what am I using all these other buttons for? So in playing on the laptop with it, someone came to visit my roommate, saw me, and he was like, hey, like, are you a DJ? I said, oh no, I'm just trying to figure out the software. He said, oh, I have a friend who's a DJ, I'll bring him over. The next day he brought the guy, and then that was what happened.
Just like
first
that.
Year in uni, like I started DJing from my first year in uni, that was 2013. So this year is really like my 10 year anniversary. I'm thinking of doing something
like a big ass event.
Yeah, I'm not thinking of not doing anything, but like, I'm still thinking about
like you're in that space where you're like, should I do anything? Should I do anything?
Yeah,
I feel you. Welcome back though to the Nell podcast. If you're wondering who we've been talking to for like the past minute and a half, this is the Max DJ, very on brand. One of the best female DJs in Ghana at the moment. She's killing it, headlining. Yeah. How are you doing it though?
I just think it's hard work and consistency. Yeah, because I don't know any other thing. Like sometimes people feel like, okay, I've had it easy, but I'm the one who knows what I've been doing
through.
Like I did everything from scratch. There is no like, okay, the family will say, take this 10,000 CDs, put it into your deal. No, I've been doing everything. I mean, not that everyone supports me, like my friends, my family and everything.
Oh, they support you?
Yes. They do.
You know, the Ghanaian family won't regularly be like...
Yeah, so like in the beginning, I always say this every time people ask me about my DJing career. In the beginning, my mom always like... was okay with it, like she didn't act weird, like why do you want to be a DJ?
No,
I never had. It was my dad who felt like why do you want to be a DJ? Like it doesn't make sense to him.
And
it wasn't making sense to him for a couple of years. And I remember very well, like in the beginning there was a little bit of friction between my dad and I, and being like my dad is my G, so I mean, one thing is like you want to follow your passion, and then it's like you're going to follow your passion at the expense of your relationship with your dad. But I don't even know what made me keep going. And I think now he understands, like, so even when he calls me in the morning and he realizes I'm asleep, he's like, oh, did you go and play yesterday? So it's like he's really come into terms with it. But I think his biggest fear was he hadn't really seen women DJs in a crowd. He hadn't really seen women DJs anywhere. I've taken you to school, and why do you want to be a DJ? Like, what's the end goal? He felt like I was wasting my life. So even though I love what I was doing, a part of me wanted to prove to my dad that this is what I wanted to do and this is what I was going to do. And now we are back to normal. We are cool because he realized that, okay, she's actually doing what she wanted to do. And she's doing a good job at it. So
yeah,
that's basically. So yeah, consistency. I've met a couple of people who have also tried their best to like put me on and stuff. I can't say I just woke up and then people started booking me. No, yeah. I did what I had to do, and then certain people too did what they had to do to help me, and then now I'm here.
But how has it been? Like, did you ever envision guessing like this far when you started back in level 100?
When I started level 100, like I always say, even like 10 years this year, I don't even feel like I've done what I want to do as a DJ. Because right. I started this DJing thing with my best friend. Okay. We were together when everything, so we've been doing everything together.
She's still a DJ?
She's not a DJ. She was just, basically for like most part of my career, she was literally like my manager. We were going everywhere together. And
right.
My life happens, we go off and then we have different priorities.
You know how best friends support anything you do?
Yeah. She's still in my life and everything, but she's not actively doing the DJ thing anymore. Yeah, so we had a plan and we used to call it Lighted Stories. So basically Lighted Stories, I play a lot of electronic music.
Yeah.
And my inspirations come from Black Coffee, like all the electronic dance and African dance music DJs and producers you can think of. So in my free time, I watch a lot of like YouTube videos for EDC, Ultra, you know, all those things. And I'm like, I could tell her, you know what? Until I play one of these festivals, we haven't done the work we are supposed to do. So I was like, you know, we are going to like, whenever we say Lighted Stories, that's us like reminding ourselves what the goal was. Because you know, when the music is playing on those stages, you see how the lights come out like, the light work is so impressive. So that was something we just used to tell ourselves, okay, Lighted Stories. Even whenever something was going wrong, we were like, don't worry, Lighted Stories. Like, we are going to get
there. That's such an encouraging thing.
The Lighted Stories happen. It happened. Like, I've had things I wanted to do. I've done some. I'm yet to do some.
Mm-hmm.
A typical example was like my boiler room set.
That's
boiler room is something I have. Oh,
you guys go and watch that set. I was behind here.
Yes.
With my mask.
Yes.
That set was so hard.
Something I've always wanted to do. So that's like one thing I have ticked off my
bucket list.
And I'm like, okay. I'm you know, sometimes you have to wait for someone to tell you, okay, you are doing this. But sometimes you are just there, you know, you are like, no, actually I'm actually doing this.
Yeah.
So that's what it's
She's sugar quoting it. At this body, she realized that, at this body, that's what it is.
I'm on the path to Lighted Stories. I want to be able to play Tomorrowland, Ultra, EDC. It doesn't matter where it happens, because I never thought in a million years I was going to do Boiler Room in Accra.
It felt good
that it was
in Accra.
It looked like something that was so far-fetched.
Like,
I had to go to Europe. I don't mind where I'm playing Ultra. So far as I'm on a stage where there are hardcore electronic dance music.
Yeah, you've been SA. You're doing SA.
I saw an Ultra happening in SA, so maybe one of you should first and book me and then.
Yeah, put her on. Put us on. Meet you first.
There's a lot of electronic music DJs and producers.
And how do you feel about Accra actually accepting the fact that DJs are actually doing out of the norm stuff?
Yeah, whenever I go for these gigs and I go home, like, I'm so, so happy because it's watching something that you didn't think
could
was
going to
happen. Because I always say I'm not the only DJ who started playing electronic music in Accra.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the only female
DJ who was
playing electronic music. So
were there other female DJs like when you started out?
So I knew only two. I knew DJ Kes and I knew DJ MJ. DJ MJ, I just hit her up once on social media. I'm cool with all of them. We are very, very good. I was with Kes like just last week. And I was like, MJ, no, I just said, oh, hi, what's up? I can see you're already a DJ. You know, but MJ didn't even let me, like, speak so much. Like, she just felt like, oh, another female DJ. So,
let's
we learned that from there. So, most of the times, like, I just used to follow DJ MJ to go watch her sets.
Right.
Or sometimes I go to Bellaroma because Kes used to play at Bellaroma just to watch. So, for the most part, and even still, those two women were, like, my role models. Because I was
just
a female DJ in Accra. But then when I met them and I started like following what they do, how they do their stuff, I realized that, oh, okay. Then I saw there was DJ Nice and then there was Miss Austin. So those were the only four women DJs I knew in Accra.
For the longest
time. Then plus myself five. Then later I found, I think she has stopped DJing. I forgot. Tipsy. There was DJ Tipsy. Mm. But I think she doesn't DJ anymore.
Yeah, I don't know her.
Yeah. And then there was DJ Akel. But now, different ball game. Like, we have a lot of women DJs in Accra. But even though we have a lot of women DJs in Accra, I feel like still majority of those women DJs are from the diaspora. I want more women DJs.
That's a good shout though.
Yeah, from Accra, Ghana.
It's like the Accra people, there's still that like
hold back. We still need more. We're getting more actually. Like now there are a lot of women DJs because last December I was on the judging panel for the Afrochella DJ competition.
Right.
And when I was going
to the women in there?
Yeah, there were women DJs.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
And I was so happy, like, okay, like I'm seeing all these people because like 10 years ago it wasn't a lot. So now that I'm seeing plenty of people do it, I'm very, very happy. And like you were asking about the scene and the music, it was difficult because already you don't know anybody. You're trying to break into the
You're bringing something different as well.
And then you are not here to play Afrobeats and hip-hop. There's nothing wrong with Afrobeats. I really, really love Afrobeats. I'm literally listening to Afrobeats and hip-hop every time. But electronic music is what I also love. So I felt like if I love this, I should be able to go out and hear this. Yeah. I don't have to listen to electronic music only when I'm in my house. Right. So when I started playing it, some of our DJs, so we know them.
No, I understand.
They said They said a lot of things, but you see, there's one thing, as a creative, I believe that you're the only one who knows your journey or your vision. So if I feel like I want to go this way, if you all want to go that way, that's fine. There's no problem with you going that way. Yeah. I just want to go this way, and that's fine. And now seeing that, okay, there are other DJs who also love electronic music and are doing their bit to push electronic music, it's amazing. And now there's even like a much more bigger scene for it as well. Because at first, if you wanted to do an electronic music event, you're going to get like maybe 80% white people, because everyone says it's white people music, but I don't think so. Dance music has never been a white people thing. Like I feel like it's music for everyone. But now when you're doing an event like that, you hardly see, like, it's a balanced crowd,
very good balance.
Yeah. So I'm really happy where we've got into now with electronic music, and big shout out to all the DJs who were doing it before, and I know they are all happy that now it has gotten to wherever it's gotten to.
I know you're pretty like excited about how Boiler Room turned out, but what was like your most challenging? What was like your most challenging stage
for Boiler Room? Or
no,
generally,
you were excited about Boiler Room, so although it was a challenge, you like you still pulled it off.
Yeah,
but like I don't know. I don't know if challenging is the word. Maybe more like your most difficult gig or stage you've done.
I don't think. Well, I don't.
Do you ever like playing when you don't get like the reaction of like an active crowd? Does that like affect you?
I've come to understand that Ghanaians, like not even Ghanaians, like you can play all the best songs in the world.
If they don't want to jam,
they will not jam. It has nothing
to do with you.
If they don't want to jam, they do not.
Did you feel that way when you were on the come up and you were like trying to? You know, when you're on the come up, you just want like people to just vibe to you.
You know, when you're starting everything, you feel like you need a reaction from every single person.
Right.
But if I'm starting out as a DJ, of course, I won't be the DJ I was 10 years ago. It's not the same DJ that I am now.
Yeah.
So if I'm playing the music, then I'm like, after I go home, I'm like, but why did this person do this? Why is this person not looking like? Then as time went on, I was like, no, you are focusing on the wrong things. Focus on those who came to have fun.
And actually had fun.
If you are getting some sort of energy because maybe you did the mistake, because I don't think I was perfect from the get-go.
Right.
It's just an avenue for you to
learn,
go and correct that mistake and then come back from it. So whenever there's been anything that I feel like went off, I just go and then I work on it and then I come back to it.
So is it safe to say you haven't had like a challenging stage yet?
I think I have, but I probably just do not remember. But that's not even, I think one of my challenging stages, which wasn't even during playing the gig, was when I actively tried to like change the course of the music I was playing, because I started playing Afrobeat, hip-hop, dancehall. I was playing everything pretty much. But
no, like the climates were trying to get you to sell out.
I personally decided to like do like a half and half situation whereby if I have a set, I'm going to play like, I'm going to find a way to fuse in Afrobeats and electronic music. But most importantly, it depends on the crowd. So if I know this crowd is very, very, very like Afrobeats, there's no way I'm going to play electronic music for them. But also what I realized, like due to experience, is sometimes you think it's Afrobeats that they want, but you end up changing it a bit and they actually enjoy it. Because I feel like as a DJ, one of your job is to break music to people, whether it's old, new. Sometimes I even listen to DJs and I'm like, oh, what's this? I Shazam the song.
And you already know the song.
Like, it's like, the song that I already know. So it doesn't matter whether what crowd you're playing for. Just as, unless the event is a themed event, so you know you're going for an Afrobeat event. But I feel like as a DJ, you should play whatever you want to play. The goal is to get people dancing. The goal is to get people happy, put them in a better mood than they came to the event. And then, yeah.
Yeah, you're there. That's nice. And how did your friends take it when you're like, guys, I'm trying to do this thing. trying to go hard.
The beautiful part about my journey is when I finished senior high school, I mean, just when I went into uni.
What senior high school did you go to?
I went to Abigail Senior High School.
Oh, okay.
Not to even, for friends who have been friends from way back, because I've got like 20 plus years friendships and anything, not for anyone to feel bad.
20 plus years friendships?
Yeah, this is my honest truth. When I was in my first year in university, I was a single Pringle. Like, it's like I just woke up one day and I didn't have friends.
Why?
I have no idea. I don't know whether it was because we had all gone to uni. I don't know. I just.
Oh, wait, but were you seeing them?
Not necessarily, no.
Wait, okay, so it's like different uni type situation.
I just don't know what happened. So if it's
that's crazy.
I feel like we're just friends.
In the moment, school.
There were certain people, just a few people that we kept in touch with. But I mean, that's like WhatsApp conversation and everyone moves on about. So you just see a post up from them, maybe on the internet, you just like it. And then
you just keep it pushing.
But honestly, it was even just recently I felt like, nah. There was a point in your life where you honestly didn't have friends.
That's so crazy.
When I wanted to be a DJ, it was just only
your best friend.
So it was her, and then the other. So we had a roommate.
Yeah.
So she was our roommate, and then the room opposite us, they were also friends with my roommate. So when I'm practicing, and they like to dance. So when I'm practicing, they come to the room or they open their bedroom door so they can
hear the music. Yeah.
So those were pretty much like the people I had around. So I can't even say, okay, I told this friend. But I know when I was in high school, there was a day I told one of my friends I want to be a DJ. And she kind of laughed because I think
I was serious.
So it was just their conversations and then we just moved on from it. So for my friends, I don't think anyone, I didn't really have any conversation with anyone about wanting to be a DJ. Maybe when they saw me start doing it. Oh, okay, so you a DJ now? I'm like, you a DJ now?
Yeah.
I even had some friends feel like probably maybe because they thought maybe I didn't want to go to school no more, or maybe I dropped out of school, or maybe I didn't get uni, and good that's how I wanted to be a DJ. No, like I was in uni, and I wanted to be a DJ.
Yeah.
So yeah, for my
Ghana
friends,
people.
Yeah.
Anytime they see me out of the norm, they think it's some mishap in your life or something.
Yes. So my friends are cool. There are friends that we've rekindled our friendships and we are having like the best friendship after like so many years.
Yeah.
And there are some too that I just grew out of them. Like we're just going apart. And that's fine. That's life. So but I think for my friends, and I've made new friends. Like I have new friends. And for the new friends I made, most of them, not even most, they were all, because everyone who is my, those people came into my life when I was already a DJ. I'd already started DJing and they liked me for what I was doing. There were times when they all followed me to my gig because, okay, our friend is going
to feeling, you know?
Yeah, so let's go together. Yeah. And they kept going with me. So I know for those who support me, really, really support me. I can't say, okay, this friend doesn't support me. No.
Yeah.
My friends are good people. They show me so much love and
such a nice feeling. Like, you pull up to a gig and all your friends are there.
Exactly.
Like, why didn't we tell you guys to come? But they're there.
Yeah.
But have you faced, like, opposition? That's the word I'm looking for. Have you faced opposition?
What would you call opposition?
Like, in your rise to the top.
Yeah.
You know, although they're like, you have like female DJs who are your peers. You have people who were there before you.
Yeah.
And you know, normally when someone is on the rise to the top, there's like that opposition, like it could be healthy sometimes, but it's also
like me, for one, I feel like one of the things that really used to bother me, but I also feel like it came with a transition because we know you as DJ Michi, and then all of a sudden you're the Max DJ now, there's a mask and the music you are playing.
Actually,
so when I actively started playing electronic music, that was when I started wearing the mask as well. So I think it was a bit confusing for certain people. They were like,
Why did you introduce the mask?
So the mask.
I'm sure you guys were waiting.
Somewhere recently that the reason why I wanted to wear, or the reason why I wear the mask is like, it has everything, it has changed. I wanted to wear the mask because I wanted to hide.
So it was a shy thing.
Yes, right. I'm so shy, but I think now it's even better. And I didn't want to. So, and I had a DJ experience with another DJ who is actually still a DJ, which I didn't like. So I felt like.
Do you like the person now? Why don't you want to mention
him? I haven't met him.
Mention him.
Oh no, I'm not. I haven't met him like in forever. And well, obviously we are friends. Yeah, that we happen to be.
Acquaintances.
It was one of those same things DJ's where case. DJ MJ carried me to her gig. She's like, right. Oh, you guys, there's my little sister. Let her do a set. And in doing the set, the person was standing by me and he said something. And I felt like, it really, really sounds some way, but it's just them things. What? And the more I think, like, as I was growing up, I'm like, nah, this guy really wanted to fuck with you then. But like, you just have to block it out. So the mask basically was, I didn't want anyone in my space when I was DJing.
Yeah.
Because I felt like sometimes the guys, I know, it's not even about anything, but they just feel like we need to show you what to do.
They come in between your ears. Yeah. Like, no, why are you touching the decks? I know what to do.
Normally, when the music is so loud, you can't even hear me speak through the thing. So when you talk, I'm like, so we can. I didn't want anyone in my space. I was shy. Yeah. And then most of the DJs I was also looking after, I was getting inspiration from too, were anonymous. So I'm like, let me just do this right. And then get it out of the way. So that was cool basically thing. Why I started wearing the mask. But now, this same mask is what actually like...
Gives your identity.
Gives me attention. So sometimes I'm like, did I do the right thing or get the wrong thing?
You actually did the right thing.
I feel
thing,
like, yeah, everyone needs to have an identity. That's how we all have individual names. Yeah. So if this is my identity, it's fine.
And bro, I like the green mask.
Yes, I like that one too.
Such a cool mask.
I like
mask.
That one too. I really like that one.
So what's the mask collection like? How many masks you have?
I have like a total of, let's say, 9.
Jesus
but out
Christ.
Of the 9. The 9 is like the ones that are like designed. And even that, I've got like 3 broken ones in it. So let's say like 6. Then I have like,
plain ones,
which I literally got them like ending of last year. So I have like 6 plain ones that are still new. I'm waiting for who probably Studio Kusi. Studio Kusi did like my new set for December. So I'm trying to see if he's going to do the rest or I'm going to look for another one. This is my first mask. This is the first.
The original.
Original. So he's in school. So this mask, we were in a British Council. We had a residency with British Council. So we were in the class listening and then Atso Kojo was sitting next to me. So I had a plain one in my
class. Were in that class as well?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, you've done cool.
So he was sitting there and I think he was just bored and he started doodling. So he just did it. He had just drawn and then he put it on the wall and he took a picture of it. And I'm like, no, I like this. And he's like, okay, cool. If you have more, bring it. Then I had only this. And this is a plain stolen mask from my brother. I took it from him. He was using it for choreography then. So I just picked it up and I started using it.
Wow,
like,
that's
interesting. You know what? I'm going to get more.
Get more in.
And then I had this guy I was working with, Casey Moore. He's a poet, a spoken word artist.
Yeah.
And he really fucked with me so much. So he said, you know what? When next I travel, I'll bring you mask. Right. So he brought me the green, the blue, the black.
Right.
The black got missing. Like, I left it in an Uber, I think, and the driver never gave it back to me. I don't know what he was going to use the mask for, but he never gave it back to me.
He was going to give it to his child.
Yeah. So Axel was like, don't worry, bring them. I'll do the rest for you. So all those ones, the green one, useful too. But this one, this is the OG. Maybe in future, I'll store it in a locker or something. They will
you put
it
in a case.
Future. Yeah.
That's good. That's sick, bro.
Yes.
So but the mask idea is such a cool idea.
Thank you.
Did you ever for like a second doubt that would this idea fly?
I don't think so. Sometimes I wonder where I get my.
His
I don't know. There are certain things in my life that I do it with so much vim and I don't think about what's going to happen next until after it happens and I'm like, okay. So did you ever think for a second this could they have worked? And I think I've been lucky enough to be in a position whereby whenever I make decisions like that, it goes, probably maybe it's because of the work I put into it, because it could have gone left real quick. It actually did, I would say went left, but then like I was saying, you're playing electronic music, you're wearing a mask. Why and where are we booking you? Like, so I had like a whole drought period, like there was nothing happening. And I'm like, okay.
Like no gigs, nothing.
Yeah. You just
how long was it?
Didn't take, let's say, maybe like a year. So the only person or the only people who were like booking me was Republic Bar and Grill. And That's yeah. because their crowd is really different. Yeah, so,
they have like
yeah. the so Republic, crowd, Republic, yeah. Republic is literally like the first venue that I played at outside the University of Ghana. That was Republic Band. My first gig, the first time I was booked for a gig, like yo, come and play, was Republic Band. So I'm thinking of starting my 10-year party from there.
Yeah. You can have like a whole week of celebrations.
Yeah. I want to like start from Republic up to where I am now currently.
So, no, that's sick.
Yeah, it could have gone left, but like I said, I'm the one who knows and understands my vision, so I have to do what I have to do to make it work in the end.
Nah, that's sick. And then being a DJ, like how you've shown up in all these places, would your like younger self, your younger self that used to record on cassettes and like listen back, would they believe in like I'm sure they'll definitely be proud,
yeah,
but would they believe that this is how far that playfulness has gotten?
No,
you
I don't even myself, I don't think I there was like a second in my life where I thought I was going to be a DJ like in future.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, okay, just go to school, find a job like everyone else. So I
do the normal stuff.
A million years thought I was going to be a DJ, but then when I decided to be a DJ, I don't know, I feel like I just put in all that effort, because like I was saying, right out of uni, I haven't worked for anyone before. I don't know what a 9-to-5 feels like.
Damn.
The most I've done for a 9-to-5 was probably when I was doing this side gig at X Live Radios, like way back in 2014 2015, and even that I go when it's time to play my set and then I dip after. So I've not had like proper work. Right? My DJ is proper work.
Yeah.
I haven't had a 9-to-5. So I don't know how my life would have turned out, but yeah, I think I probably would have just gone with whatever I was learning in uni then.
What were you learning?
I was doing sociology.
Okay.
In uni.
You look like a business management
student. So I'm coming to that. I was a business student in the Brie Girls, but I didn't get administration in Lagos. So
enough.
I think low key, even the DJing kind of saved my life, because it's like I'm doing the sociology, all right. I like it and everything, because
yeah.
I like reading and all. But I think whenever I look back at it, I'm like, I don't think Michelle, you liked it as much as you thought. Maybe that was the situation you were in.
So you had to like the situation.
Yeah, so, but after Lagos, then I started doing, I went to the Institute of Chartered Accounting.
Yeah.
And I started doing it for a while, and then I got bored real quick. Like, because then I started doing the DJing. But it's in such a way that whenever I want to go back, I can go back.
Go
so it's
back.
Something that I have in the back of my head that whenever I'm bored with DJing,
do you think you ever go
I'll
back?
Just go back, do a course, then come back. So I'm just.
Do you think you'd ever go back?
I think I will. I really do love business. I really, really.
That's
do,
sick.
Yeah, so I think I'll go. I'm actually.
Does business affect your DJing? Like.
Like how? Okay. Well.
Like when people like trying to book you and you're trying to
so
make it like be
my,
business
my little,
and they're like,
yeah,
oh, we are
the,
friends
the little
type
I
situation.
Know from my business background actually helps with certain things in my DJing career when it comes to like yeah, the financial part. So yeah, it's a win-win. But if I'm to go back, then it'll probably be in such a way that whatever I'm going to learn now is going to be fused with whatever that I'm going to do in the music business. So yeah, I think
fair enough. And when did the tattoos come along?
So, my
how many did you
tattoo,
have?
I have 9.
Shit!
I have 9.
You have 9 masks, 9 tattoos.
So, the tattoo, so in the beginning, I was 10.
You should make them 10. You're 10 years in the game.
So the 10th one is coming. Just
yes!
This year, I know, but I will do it. My mom was my biggest fan, like, when I started DJing at home, not even outside at home, because I was in uni and she was at home. So, when I come home, I told her, oh, I want to play this part here. Or sometimes I set up in the house and I DJ for her. So my mom is no more. She died in 2015. After being my biggest fan, she never saw me play anywhere.
Yeah.
She never saw me do anything. It was just what I was doing in the house. And she used to say, oh, when I get well, I'll follow you and then I'll come and dance.
For you.
And that didn't happen. So when she died, this was when she died. So this was my very first.
What, the spider?
No, this one. The spider is recent, like just last 2 months. This was the very first one I got, I think, in 2016. Because she died in 2018. No. My first one was in 2018. I didn't even get it right after
she died.
Did,
yeah.
I got it in 2018.
But it was with her in mind.
Yeah. That's actually the day she died, which is 23rd
right.
December. So I actually don't celebrate Christmas. So I love the fact that I am very booked in December, because I get to push that pain.
Yeah.
So that was why I did. This was the first one. Then this was like my favorite verse in the Bible. So this was the second
one. Oh, that's
one.
Sick.
Yeah.
For you niggas, I think you just read Bibles.
Yes. So that was my second one.
And people then, sit there and think DJs won't go to church. We don't read Bibles. We read Bibles, okay?
I got this. This was my third. This one. So this one's basically the Max DJ. Right. And I got this.
Is that in like
Japanese legend?
Japanese. Yeah.
And this is my current logo. So like that's the mask.
Oh right.
I got this one. I think 2 years ago, and I got it when I felt like, I won't say disrespect, but people were moving funny. People around me, industry-wise, were moving funny.
Like, DJs always move funny.
And not even just DJs, like everybody. Like, you are telling me one thing, you are giving me fans on social media, but like, you are still moving funny.
They're like in a group chat.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit.
So
I'm like, you don't have to do this.
In my life at that time where I felt like, maybe I feel like basically, this tattoo is you are who the fuck you think you are.
And I agree.
I just put it there. So I whenever I see it, it reminds me of like who I am, who I'm trying to do. Because I'm like, you are letting so many people get into your head and it's making you doubt yourself. And that's not who you are. So that was how come I got this one.
Yeah.
And then there's just a little star to here.
And then what's the star? Because you're a star?
Then I've got one, two. I've got one here. So this was the next one. This is, I'm a Cancer, so that's my birth month. And then, so this one is very recent, like just, so in November, my very, 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 very good friend died.
Damn.
Exactly. Like a very, very
good friend. I think I saw her in a snapshot.
Yes,
yeah, that sucks.
So this is her name and her death date. So when I got this, then I got this one for my dad. My dad's nickname is Spider. So I don't really want a spider on my arm. I didn't want a spider on my arm. So I'm like, let me just put the web with the love in the middle. And then I've got three beautiful sisters and these are their names. So that's basically, so all my tattoos mean something. I don't think I should have a tattoo
that doesn't mean anything. For verbs.
So yeah, basically that's all my tattoos are for.
That's it. And like back to the DJing, what's it looking like this year and beyond? We know there's Ultra coming.
yes, it's gonna happen. It will happen. This year I want to like do more for music production. I want to do more music. I want to learn because I'm self-learning. So I want to like put more energy into that. I want to create spaces for more women DJs. So that's how come I'm very excited to be doing this with Oroko Radio and Fania DJ. But this is generally for both men and women, but I want to do just something for women, and I've been thinking about it for the past 3 years, but it's like I never feel like it's the right time. But yeah, I have.
Do they approach you though? Like, do other women approach you like, Michi, can you teach me how to DJ?
Oh yeah, and it's interesting. Like I'm like,
do they actually get through to actually doing it?
So there was one that I was teaching, but she lived in Ghana and then she lived in, I think, Germany. So it's only when she comes
that she could pull it
off. So I gave her the basics, but I think now she's doing well because I bumped into her front back once and she was like, oh, I'll send you some mixes to listen to.
Oh, that's nice.
And then, yeah. And then last year, too, I did a couple of stuff with Oroko Radio and DJing. Where are the women for women DJs? Those who wanted to learn, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to be doing that with them. And probably when I'm done with the Oroko and where the women one, then I can set mine in motion. Because I don't want to, because it's like almost the same thing. I know like it's good to have like a lot of things like this, because even this, when we picked up the people, I had people calling me privately to tell me that, oh, I didn't get in. Do you think I can get in? So if there is more, there's nothing to lose. So, but I just don't want to do it at the same time. So I want to put my energy into this. And when I'm done, I do that one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So music production, I'm trying to do like more festivals and stuff across, because Accra has been good to me.
But how, actually, you played outside Ghana before. Yes. How was that like?
Oh, it was cool. It was cool.
Was it like Abidjan? The way you play in Accra?
So the first time I went to Abidjan, I played like electronic. So Abidjan has a very, very interesting electronic dance music community as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so it was pretty easy to do that one. And then when I went with Afrochella, we did, so it was more of like Amapiano Afrobeats, because French people also listen to Afrobeats and there's Afrobeats and everything. So that one was
And they be well. Winding their waist then.
yes.
Those Ivorian people.
Uganda was cool. Uganda, I feel like I didn't enjoy Uganda like the way I wanted to, because when I was in Uganda, that was, I think I got COVID.
Shit.
Yeah, I think.
COVID is an idiot.
Yeah,
man.
So even though I don't know, when I was in Uganda, I just wasn't feeling well. But it was when I got to Ghana before I realized I had COVID.
Yeah.
So I think because I wasn't feeling well, then I thought it was just a flu. So it
you couldn't give your all.
Yeah, the gig was even actually perfect and everything, but I didn't enjoy the gig. I didn't enjoy the city. Like the way I was
feeling sick and everything.
I was just in a hurry to do the gig and then come back to Accra, because I wasn't feeling when I'm like, I'm going to get sick in
Uganda.
So, it was cool. It was cool. And I can't wait to do more.
So what did you feel about going into Europe this year?
Yeah. That's the aim. That's the aim. I'm thinking Europe because, I mean, that's the main place of the kind of music I'm playing now. So.
You do play amapiano from time to time. What do you feel about people saying amapiano is boring?
I don't think it's boring. But I feel like the problem is... So amapiano, people think amapiano is some sort of new thing that's happening now.
Okay.
Amapiano is not new like that. It's new, but it's not new like that. Because I know myself, DJ Pizarro, and Oliver. Okay, DJ, you were playing amapiano before it became the viral... sensation that it is now, and even then we were playing it. Well, you see it labeled as amapiano, but we were playing it with our house music, Afro house set. It's just that we know, okay, this is a slower BPM, so you're probably going to start with that. So coming into lockdown 2021 and then seeing how amapiano has, like, amapiano is global now, like everyone talked about amapiano, and that's good for South Africa, that's good for their music, because to be honest, when it comes to African dance music, South Africa is one of the countries that is really like, it's not even one. I'm happy that, because even already Afro House Deep House has opened wild doors for them.
The
stages, Black Coffee and Shimza and everyone is on.
Yeah.
So even that amapiano is just like an added benefit to it. But I don't think it's boring. I just feel like it's not even everyone trying to play. That's not the problem. I feel like it's been done too much.
The same thing has been done too much
in Accra.
Yeah.
Because people feel like it's like you guys are pushing Afrobeats in the back and then you're playing. But I think one of the reasons too was because every promoter in the country, like, it got to a time every weekend there was a South African DJ.
How did you feel about that? How did you feel about that? Because we have people here who were doing what they were coming in to do. No disrespect to them or anything, right? But it's like... The promoters were like throwing big bucks and then they'll come.
Yeah. So for one of the people that was already playing amapiano before everyone caught on to it and it became popular, it felt some type of way listening to the budget that was going into bringing these people here. And when you look at what they'll offer you in cities, like... It's like 1,000% like the difference was huge, like very, very, very huge. Maybe the other DJs wouldn't say it, but like it was very, very huge. I remember the first amapiano DJ or amapiano DJ that came to Accra was Major League DJs.
Major League, yeah.
And
they went Sandbox.
I know so much about it. People think maybe it's because I was working at Sandbox and that's how come I have that access. But I was literally part of the people who worked on Major League DJs coming to Accra. Yeah. So that's how I have that kind of relationship with them. They are the only DJs from South Africa and say, okay, I can call these people my friends. We are cool on that level.
Yeah.
So when they came and then it was like after everyone started coming, And it was good for them because they are trying to push culture.
Yeah.
The only mistake we did was it was happening every time.
Yeah.
And then when they come, their sets are normally 1 hour, 1 hour 15, 1 hour 30. And immediately they finish, it's like, okay, now the people want Afrobeat, so where are the Ghanaian DJs? Go and play the Afrobeat for them because people are saying it's boring. And I'm like, how are they saying it's boring? You can see people having fun. People are enjoying
themselves.
So,
yeah.
Is it that you enjoy pushing us into the back and then when you feel like, okay, you need to fix your party in a certain type of way, and that's when you want to put the deep. I don't know, but there was just...
Ghanaian promoters are actually very...
Yeah. They are funny like that, but... So me, I liked it for them. I was a South African, I feel like it's good. Like, I also love it.
I think you are, though, in spirit.
My DJs and I, like, going into other countries. Because when we went to Abidjan with Afrochella, I wasn't the only person. Like, we were different DJs with Kojo Manuel. And it was exciting. Like, okay, we have these DJs from Accra coming to share their culture with us. And people were actually looking forward to it. So I can understand how they'll also feel knowing that, okay, we are going to this country to do this, to do this, to do that. But it got to a time it became too much.
Back to back. And I'm like, so you people have money like this?
Every venue. Like,
you people have money like this?
Every weekend. Like, I just couldn't keep up anymore. I just couldn't.
Like, you just been in here, oh, this person's in town. Okay, cool.
And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. Like, okay.
Oh, this person's in town. Okay, like, cool. Okay, yeah.
Cool. But yeah, I felt like it was good for their for their culture or their music, it was good for them. And I think maybe the only way that was good for us too was how we got people here to appreciate, because there are people who had never even heard Amon Piano before. Like, what are you talking about? So, I mean, we got more people to enjoy that genre. And I hope people do the same thing for Ghanaian music as well in their countries.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was too much. I don't even pretend. Even me that I play, it got too much for me at the point. Because let's play.
You know the song that's most tired, like the most tired on my piano. Which song? One? Big Flexa. That song is tired. Hey,
it's really really tired. I know. There are some songs that I don't think I've played them
in a while.
Yeah, like Jefferson. I don't remember that time I played Jefferson, because I'm like, if I hear it
you're done.
Especially when it goes viral like that with the
like
jazz.
That.
But the funny thing is, my piano discography is really, really, really large. Like,
for them to be playing the same things over and over.
Oh
no, it's actually tiring.
And I think one other problem too was how, I'm not saying there's any special way a DJ should play music, but when people, so honestly, when you listen to how South Africans play on piano, it's different from how Ghanaians play Amon Piano.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go and listen to, maybe it's because I was watching so much of their videos, so I feel like that's how it should be. But I don't know why I come and listen to Amon Piano, you're basically scratching and doing. No, yeah. I feel like
I also think it's a type of music. Because like, it's like because it's like progression.
Like everything is. Let's take our time and listen to the music.
Like, let's not rush.
It's like everyone is in a hurry to play the drums go crazy.
I also feel like it stems from like Afrobeat culture. You know, Afrobeat culture is like hits after hits after hits after hits.
But Amon Piano is not like that. Yeah.
That's interesting. Interesting perspective. I finally got someone to talk to about this. But yeah. But thank you for joining me on the podcast today. I appreciate it. I hope you keep going higher. I hope Europe happens. I know Ultra is going to happen.
Amen.
And you just share your socials for my audience that don't know you just yet.
Okay.
And we'll actually like get to know you.
Okay, so Twitter and Instagram is at TMSKDJ, which basically is the Max DJ. And your Facebook is the Max DJ. And then, yeah. Oh, okay, we are done.
Yeah, we are done. Yeah, that's our cue to finish. Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate you doing this. Yeah, we definitely, when you come back from Europe, we should record again.
Sure, yes.
Okay, thank you, man. Bye.
Right.